This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org.
Chapter 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship God by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Verse 5. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Oh my goodness, how much have we just said here? Isn't this wonderful? Look at this.
We're into Galatian land here, too.
Oh, yes, we are.
He hasn't forgotten that little episode. Right. This is dramatic material, isn't it?
You know, extraordinary. One thing, going back to the earlier part of this, look out for the dogs, look out for evildoers, and so on. I think nowadays, sometimes, as Christians, we're too naive. We want to think everybody is okay, I'm okay, you're okay kind of idea. And so we don't want to recognize that there is such a thing as evildoers. Yeah. There's such a thing that you need to be on the lookout for that and not be taken
by
that.
Exactly. And here we've got the issue of going back under the old covenant. He's very rude about circumcision.
Oh, my land,
after all, you know, the Bible does say that all males should be physically circumcised. Right. It says it in Genesis 17, clearly.
Right.
But Paul is doing something different here. This is the huge and dramatic difference between the two covenants. Mm-hmm. He's very, very tough on those who want to go back, some might call Jewish roots. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jesus was a Jew. Yes, we believe in the Messiah. We believe in the one God of Israel. But no, the issue of tassels, clean, unclean foods, the Jewish calendar observed in the letter is not part of what we do in the New Covenant.
And even circumcision itself now has...
How radical is that?
That's something. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. Very radical.
So he says people shouldn't take confidence that we're the real circumcision, the true circumcision of God, that worship by the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Wow.
We're the true Jews. Yeah. You see, that's the international crowd.
That's right.
We throw in Galatians 6:16, the Israel of God. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a future for national Israel, what we might call blinded present ethnic Israel.
Yes.
There's a future for them in present.
Yes.
We know that, but for the moment, the international crowd should not throw away its identity.
Absolutely.
It should claim this true circumcision.
That's right. That's exactly.
Very, very important.
Then he goes on to say, you know, if anybody wants to boast about their role in the flesh, as it were, circumcision,
flesh,
that sort
of
thing. He said, my goodness, he said, I can keep up with anybody in that department.
But, isn't that interesting? So, Hebrew of Hebrews.
Yeah. So, but he says, you know, I counted all that as nothing.
My goodness.
So what does that say then to the person out there who wants to boast? Yeah, but I keep the law, or I'm this. Paul is saying back to them, I think, look, I counted all of that as nothing.
Yes.
Well, what was it that Paul then was counting as nothing? He was counting Moses, the law, being a disciple of Moses, and the righteousness that he had, according to the law. He let go of all of that in order to attain to the this righteousness that's by Jesus Christ.
It's a hard thing for the pump to get hold of, because Paul appears to be pro-law and anti-law, right? And yes, the only way that I think one can sum this up in an easy session is to say that he's pro-law in the spirit, always. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying you can go and commit adultery. In fact, you shouldn't even think about adultery. Mm-hmm. The law's gone into a new key in the spirit, but on the letter side, he's dead against it. He says, if you get circumcised in Galatians, if you're going to get physically circumcised, then you're obliged to keep the whole law. Don't do it. Do not keep the whole law. So what is this law which you are not to keep?
That's right. My goodness, yeah.
That's clear.
And I like what Paul says to the Corinthians, too, when he talks about, you know, he puts it practically to people. He says, if you came to Christ and you were circumcised, well, don't seek to be uncircumcised. No, but he says, but if you're not circumcised, for goodness sakes, don't be circumcised.
Right.
My land, you know. All of that's nothing.
But,
I really like it when you look at Paul's lay of the land here.
Yes.
Speaking about what he had that he would boast in before.
Yes.
But now he counts as nothing that he might attain Christ.
Isn't that amazing?
The greater Christ. Well, what is it he's counting as loss?
Yes.
He's, you know, read back through it.
Yes.
He's counting as loss anything that he mentions before.
I know.
But this is wonderful stuff. So he says, I count it all as nothing that I might win Christ. That's
amazing.
Everything.
Christ,
yes. I love that.
Knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's the only time he actually calls Jesus Christ my Lord.
Yeah,
we have my Lord David in the Old Testament. We have our Lord David. Yeah. Psalm 121, the Lord says to my Lord.
Wow.
Sir, if you like. Sir Jesus, we might say in modern terminology. But not God Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And as you've noted before, we're not going to be saying my Yahweh.
Impossible.
That doesn't work, yeah. We're not going to be finding that in Scripture.
No.
This is so... Yeah. But I really... Isn't Paul just... In this that we've just read, isn't he just laying it all on the line? My goodness.
You know, I'd forgotten until you were reading it there. It had not impacted me fully that he's repeating the Galatian...
He really is, isn't he?
...impassioned anti-law in the letter. Yeah. Because it's going to kill you, you know. People think if I can just keep the Sabbath and the holy days and the new moons and wear those tassels... God is going to be so much more pleased with me. In fact, it's the opposite. You're poisoning yourself.
Yes.
And
yes,
that theme, then, is under the surface in what Paul is writing always. Most interesting.
I like the last thoughts he has there in verse 10. He's saying, that I may know him, Christ, know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Wow, what you've mentioned back in the second chapter we're talking about. But becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead.
Wow. Greek word there, exanasis, the out-resurrection. That's to say, the first resurrection.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Isn't that nice?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I like
Not
that.
Just the resurrection, but the...
But that resurrection.
Yes, the sort of advanced guard resurrection. Isn't that beautiful? Which, of course, in Revelation 20 is the first resurrection.
Yeah.
That's his aim. Not to go to heaven the moment he dies and play harps in the sky, but to gain the resurrection and the subsequent kingdom of God on the earth when Jesus comes. Now, it never made any sense to me. If I had any sense of the goal in my Church of England days, it was extremely vague.
Yeah.
And playing a harp on a solo cloud is very disappointing if you like playing in orchestras. The fun is you're doing this in community to be stuck on a cloud somewhere, solo, playing a harp. No, I don't think so.
Verse 12, not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained.
Yes.
I like all of that a lot. It's just amazing.
Upward call there. We are going to be caught up to meet the Lord and escort Him down, but it's a call to promotion here.
Ah, yes.
If I may attain to being with Christ, he said in 1:23 in the same book. And being with Christ, of course, is at the moment that Christ appears. And we got to meet the King and escort the King in the direction which he's going, which is the earth. People, you know, don't really believe in the second coming until they get the idea clear that he actually does come back. Yes. He doesn't disappear.
Well, that's right. That's
he has
right.
a one-way ticket from heaven to earth, not a two-way ticket.
Yeah. The I like this point that he's making. We left off in the 11th verse earlier, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Yes. Not that I have attained it.
That's right.
Yeah. We don't have that now.
It's a race, isn't it?
Sure.
Obviously.
So here we are. We are, in one sense, the Romans 6, we are alive with Christ.
Yes.
We are partakers in that sense. And yet, when we get over here, Paul is going to say, I've not yet attained
right.
that. So it's like you said, we're holding these things in a certain tension.
That's exactly right. I learned long ago in Israel, I think in the Jerusalem University, the Hebrew mind grasps the totality. It can handle... We aren't there, we're there, but we're not yet there.
Yes.
In the West, we want to be, I want to know exactly, is it this or that?
Yeah.
That's fatal to Bible reading. You know, take it easy, relax a little bit. We haven't made it yet, and yet we've got a down payment
on
the future.
Well, there you go. Now there's the scriptural perspective.
Yeah, parallel.
Right. Verse 17. Brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, earlier he started out saying, look out for those who are evildoers.
Yes.
Now he's saying, look to those who are good examples and follow those good examples, I think.
Absolutely.
Verse 18, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. 19, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things.
That's shocking. Yeah. He's talking to the church here, apparently. Is that right?
I think so. That's right. This is not to the outsiders that he's writing this. He's writing to the inside.
That's utterly shocking.
Yeah.
They're false brethren, in other words. They've infiltrated. Yeah. Their mind is on evil things.
Mm-hmm.
Their belly is the guide and director of their lives. That's terrifying, isn't it?
Again, maybe this could relate to the Acts 15 business and those brethren who were rather false brethren wanting to bring in these issues, which led to the council in Acts 15. Verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Of course.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, we're not going to heaven, but he's coming from heaven.
Right.
We're waiting for the kingdom of God, as Joseph of Arimathea was.
Yeah.
It's coming from heaven with the king who's coming to the earth to establish the kingdom.
I like it a lot. That's right.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? Well, that says it well, then. We await we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's coming to us. We're not... quite going
that's right
there.
We've got it backwards.
Yeah,
we stood it on its head.
That's
and therefore
right.
it's confusing to people. The kingdom of heaven is Daniel 2:44. The whole kingdom under the whole heaven is God's kingdom.
Yes.
Yes.
I do like that our citizenship is in heaven. It's kept in the role, so to speak.
Right. Our passport reads kingdom of God, then not firstly America or Britain. Right?
Yeah.
We should always say that we ought to obey the laws of the land insofar as they don't contradict the laws of God. But we should be very honest citizens, paying our taxes scrupulously, honoring those to whom honor is due, while remaining as green card people.
Yeah, well, there you go. Realizing this is not our thing here.
And that's Abraham, who lived in the land and didn't get a square foot of it, but he has to come into the resurrection to get the land that was promised to him and his seed after him.
Well said. That's right. Verse 21, who will, so we're talking about the Lord Jesus, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So,
marvelous.
Wow, the power of God in him, working in him and through him, extends then to us. And I love that.
we shall see him as he is at that point. Right?
Yes.
And we have a spiritual body. That's a very difficult concept for people influenced by Plato, right? A spiritual body, it sounds like a contradiction, but it's a soma pneumatico, and I'm using the modern Greek pronunciation. It's driven by spirit, but it's still palpable. I'm not a ghost, Jesus says.
Yes, right.
Imagine that. It's wonderful. Well, we're not disembodied souls at any point. That's a very pagan concept.
Yeah. This is wonderful. And he's reminding them then of that lies ahead.
Yes.
This hope that we were speaking about earlier.
Yes.
That hope is wonderful, and it should drive us forward.
Absolutely. I love the text in Colossians 1:4 says that faith and love are because of hope. I would say to people whose congregations are languishing, you've got to have more love and more faith. All right, but what about the hope? Is the hope clear? If the hope is not clear, it's poisoning the entire enterprise of spirituality.
Right.
So the remedy then is to get the hope clear.
You're exactly right. That's why. Again, in this chapter, I'm really taken with Paul's... counting all things as loss. Counting them as nothing. But take a look at the things he was counting as nothing then. You know, he's just listed the kinds of things he has, even including the righteousness under the law, in which he was blameless. But he said, I let go of that too. I don't seek righteousness by the law.
Right.
I'm seeking righteousness now by Jesus Christ.
Martha's text there in 1 Corinthians 9, where he says, I am not under the law, but I am within the Torah of Messiah. And we did Galatians.
Yes,
stressed,
I like that.
The Torah of Messiah is not the same as the Torah of Moses.
Absolutely.
That's a very hard concept for people to get hold of.
Moses, as I've said, was really a stand-in. If people can just get that in their mind. It's kind of like he was a forerunner. Moses was a forerunner of Messiah.
Sure.
And much as John the Baptist.
Yes.
John the Baptist came, he said, I'm not him, but I'm here to help, get us to him. And that's what Moses was doing. Moses didn't come to bring us the ultimate final program of God at all. He came to lay out groundwork to help us get over to Messiah. And once we're there, you've got it. It's interesting, but... Even Moses needed a Savior to come to bring life.
Even Moses. Moses was a Savior, but he needed a Savior.
He needed a Savior.
The judges were Saviors.
That's right. That's right.
They were also Saviors.
Yeah.
But they all need the ultimate Savior.
Yeah.
There's no salvation outside of Messiah. That's quite clear, outside of Christ.
So nowadays, we might, some of our friends who are so concerned about pursuing issues related to Moses and the law, we might ask them, so you're really concerned about all those things that Paul was willing to reach the point where he counted as nothing. You're really
going
into that. You're really going.
Yes.
Not to mention that it would be funny if it wasn't so serious, but but for Gentiles to be trying to do that now is just unbelievable. It's neither Jesus nor Paul ever wanted Gentiles to keep the law. Jesus never said it.
No.
Neither did Paul. So you could talk about the issues about the Jews who were already part and parcel of that program. Say, well, what do we do there? Well, that's a question. But for the Gentiles, where did Jesus ever say, I'm just trying to get the law of Moses to all the Gentiles? He never.
No.
Jesus was not concerned about such a thing. That was never his thought. Neither was Paul nor any of the others at...
It's nice that Jesus did come, as it says in Romans 15, I think, that he came to confirm the promises
made
to Israel and the patriarchs, and that the Gentiles should rejoice in the same promise. Now, that's fine. The promises are common to all of us.
Absolutely.
But until you read this just a moment ago, I had not realized how much he's back to the Galatian point.
It is, isn't it?
And the Galatians, he actually is so bold as to say that Mount Sinai is bondage.
Oh, wow.
You see, he has to make his point. He has to go almost overboard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You keep the Ten Commandments outside of Messiah, you're not getting anywhere. You've got to have the law of Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And be very careful not to poison your own spirituality.
Yeah, wow.
By saying, well, I'm doing what the Bible says. You may be, but it's not for the right time.
Yeah, and not for the right people.
That's right.
Well,
there are some scholars, I'm thinking of Jim Tabor in his book on the restoration of Abrahamic faith. He says, scholars are very unwilling to admit that Paul was not advocating circumcision, even for Jews. Now that's radical.
That is
because he says, "I'm telling you in Galatians, I'm telling you, doesn't matter who you are. If you get circumcised, then you're going to be bound to keep a whole lot of laws which you shouldn't keep."
That's right.
See, that is very radical. Otherwise, how can we have a united church? You've got half your church says, "Well, I insist on this Saturday."
Yes, oh my goodness!
And the other group's doing this. That's not going to work.
Don't we have enough to deal with and enough on our plates with that and bringing in all that kind of divisive issues and problems?
So Paul can talk about the Israel of the flesh, that's in the King James, translating literally and correctly in 1 Corinthians 10:18, the Israel of the flesh, by which he implies, of course, there's a spiritual Israel.
Yes.
And not just being a descendant of Abraham. It doesn't make you one of God's people. You've got to be spiritually a part of the descendants
of Abraham. I'm always reminded of what John the Baptist said about, you know, don't boast about this matter. Don't you realize that God can raise up these stones, children of Abraham? And in a way, God has, through by way of raising up the Gentiles as children of Abraham. So,
it's a good program, isn't it?
It is. It's lovely. Wonderful. And here we are. Isn't this nice?
Yes, by the grace of God, because we all have had to make some changes in our thinking,
I think,
over the long period we've been working at this.
We were talking earlier about how difficult it is for people, and that denominations will almost hardly ever be willing to sit down and take a good look at themselves and say, could we be wrong on something? But I think at least, certainly as individuals, I know from your background and from mine as well, we had to do that.
Yes.
But it's been wonderful. It's difficult sometimes.
It's difficult.
People don't really enjoy you changing in your views, but it's a wonderful thing, actually. It's well worth the journey.
Well worth the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. The isolation of denominations is so dangerous. You've got this little group meeting Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I've got any idea what they're preaching down the road.
Right.
But you might go over and listen to them occasionally. Maybe they've got a point.
Yeah. You never know. That's right.
You might even get kicked out of your own. If that's the trouble. You get kicked out of your own denomination in favor of another point of view.
That's right. That's right.
That becomes very exhilarating,
that's right.
if risky, but exhilarating still.